produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in to the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today, Indiana campus seeks marijuana decriminalization. At Purdue's 40,000 student campus, a 20-year-old student will currently face higher consequences for possessing a joint, pot paraphernalia, or even a single seed than being drunk in the street. Aaron Dame, president of the Purdue chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, said that the group has been working since last semester on an initiative to decriminalize marijuana and make it the lowest priority for police who have jurisdiction on Purdue's campus.
Obviously, our long-term goal is the legalization of marijuana, but we realize that it's not going to happen unless we take baby steps. We really think decriminalization would be a great thing for us.
That was Aaron Dame, president of the Purdue chapter of Normal. Dame said the group is researching the topic and exploring other successful campus initiatives like that at the University of Maryland.
Our main goal is to reach out and get support from the community. We have to emphasize the grassroots effort for Normal to get the community involved. We hope to educate people about the medicinal uses, and hopefully people will be able to relate and will be more open to seeing the other side of things.
Although Normal pushes for legalization of marijuana, Dame and many of her peers feel there should be restrictions on it.
Just like everything else, you need to be responsible. If they ever legalize marijuana, whether they make the legal age 18 or 21, it's not for me to decide, but I do agree that there should be a legal age limit.
Dame said the consequences for possession of marijuana are much harsher in Indiana than in surrounding states because two surrounding states are decriminalized.
If you get caught with possession in Chicago, you just get a ticket. It doesn't look the same on your record.
Again, that was Aaron Dame, president of the Purdue chapter of Normal. She also pointed out that no one has ever died from smoking marijuana, while campus deaths nationwide for alcohol poisoning continue to rise. Dame is confident that if marijuana is not decriminalized in Indiana in the next 5 years, it will definitely happen in the next 10. Campus deprioritization initiatives have been passed in Florida and Maryland, and Denver voters passed the Marijuana Alcohol Equalization Initiative earlier this year. More information about this story on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. We've gathered up some more fresh green audio for you today. Take a moment to join us at Normal. Visit NORML.org. Let's get to our first segment today. We'll speak with Aaron Dame, Purdue Normal's president, with a closer look at today's news. Marijuana alcohol equalization is an important aspect of reform right now, especially for America's college students. President of Purdue Normal, and has been organizing the initiative to make marijuana law enforcement's lowest priority on campus there. Welcome here today to the Audio Stash, Aaron.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. So let's look further at Normal on Purdue's campus. You're right there in the Midwest, so what kind of reaction has Normal gotten on Purdue's campus there?
It's very conservative. Purdue is an engineering school. It's also an agriculture school, but a lot of people are from either the Illinois, Ohio, or Indiana area, so which is mostly Republican. like I said, it's just really conservative and not a lot of people are open-minded about things. They pretty much are set in their ways and their parents' ways and their grandparents' ways. So.
And tell me what kind of activities most students are involved with on campus.
Right. At Purdue, we actually have, they place a lot of emphasis on the Greek society. So there's a lot of any kind of activities we have, you know, it's really focused on the Greek, whether it's homecoming or, you know, still even with the athletic activities, they place a lot of emphasis on that Greek social life.
And Erin, how big is this school? How many folks are on campus on any given day?
We have about 40,000 people on campus. We also have a very large graduate program and also an MBA program. So there are about, like I said, 40,000
people. So 40,000 people on this campus. It must take up a fair chunk of land. You mentioned something earlier about the interesting police situation there.
Right. We actually have five different jurisdictions ruling over the Purdue campus. We have Purdue police, which, like I was mentioning earlier, are not rent-a-cops. They are actually police officers that do carry guns, that do drive police cars. We also have West Lafayette, which is the town that we live in, then Lafayette, which is the adjacent town, Tippecanoe County Police, and then also Indiana State Police. So, and that's not to mention the students that are in the security guard. You know, they walk around in the evenings and everything. So there are a lot of people looking out for us.
Now, Normal is seeking for marijuana to become the lowest law enforcement priority on campus, but that's not the case currently.
Right, they do. Like I was mentioning, with such emphasis being on the Greek society, you know, they really kind of turn the other way when it comes to underage drinking or, you know, kind of alcohol in general. But really, that's not the case with marijuana. They actually, there was an incident in a dorm involving a shooting, a homicide, and a suicide that happened over a drug deal. And since then, you know, it's just been completely, like, no tolerance about it. If you get caught having, you know, possessing anything, a seed, a stem, whatever it is in the dorms, whoever's there with you, whether it be your roommate, your friends, it doesn't matter. If they weren't smoking, they also get penalized for that. You get kicked out of campus housing. You lose your financial aid, the whole deal. So,
Erin, after having been on Purdue's campus for a few years now, what kind of impact does alcohol have on your peers?
Well, it's kind of, it's really discouraging because you go out, and I understand the college bar scene is big on any college, but it's just, it's overruling Purdue. People, you know, starting at all nights of the week, really, they're just drunk people roaming the campus, which sounds kind of absurd, but it really is. They just don't care. Like I said, they really just turn the other cheek, and the only good thing I was telling you earlier, the athletes are kind of getting prosecuted, but I guess that's mainly because they put them in such a big light. You know, if they didn't react to something like a hit and run, it would look bad on them. So they did get suspended from athletics, but, you know, I'm sure they didn't lose their financial aid. They're still living, you know, in campus housing. So I get to play football, but, you know, it's not that bad.
And with such a large campus, and even with a graduate program, there must be a pretty big group of folks who are under 21 and shouldn't be drinking at all.
Exactly, exactly. And while you may get a ticket for that, an underage you know, ticket, they usually don't give those out. If they're to break up a frat party, it's just kind of like, you know, go on home. Get, you know, just get out of here, clear the area, whatnot. It's not something like everybody that's under 21 needs to, you know, give us their IDs, we're going to arrest you, we're going to give you a ticket. It's none of that. It's just kind of like, oh, we're not looking, just kind of go away.
And what happens to the alcoholic students, you know, the ones who may be under 21 but also have a daily problem with alcohol?
Right. These, okay, the only good thing I can say about that is if you get multiple, you know, tickets for underage drinking or whatever it is, Purdue does put you into a program. And it's the same, just about the same program they put you in with drugs. But the first time you know, you get caught with any kind of drug, you're in this program for a very long time. It costs you money every time that you go, and if you miss one session, no matter, you know, if it was scheduled, if they knew you were going to miss it, it doesn't matter. You have to start the program over. And this is the same kind of thing they're doing with alcohol, but like I said, it's so much more lenient. You know, you get however many tickets, like numerous tickets before they put you in that, as opposed to just, you know, automatically being enrolled when, you know, you get caught with marijuana.
Aaron, you mentioned many of the arrests in the Daily Police Report and the local papers there are filled with simple marijuana possession and paraphernalia arrests. It seems like local law enforcement around Purdue is outright targeting marijuana smokers.
Right, yeah, and that's actually the way I feel personally, and I tell that to other people that are in Normal, you know, that we really need to watch out not only for each other, but we need to watch out for ourselves out there because, you know, the police, especially Purdue police, has a force on bicycles that patrol at all hours of the night, and it's not like, you know, they're just driving around the dorms to make sure people are safe. They're driving on every floor of the parking garage looking for you. You know, they're out there on the hill where we have concerts looking for you, in the baseball fields. You know, they're out.
Now, it sounds like there's a ton of visible law enforcement on campus, and it seems like with everyone drunk all the time, they're going to need it to pick everybody up. But targeting marijuana, do you think this is holding them back, do you think?
It's not even, you know, one of the reasons I really wanted to do this project was not even because, you know, specifically marijuana. I mean, obviously that's the main reason, but also I can just see on campus from being there, like you said, 3 years, you know, that something isn't right. You know, our priorities, the police's priorities are not in the right place. They are really, like I said, they're really out there looking for us and not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, there are rapes on campus every semester, you know, more than there should be. Why aren't those bike cops, you know, if there's so many of them and they're catching so many marijuana smokers, then why aren't the number of rapes going down? You know, why aren't the number of drunk drivings going down? It's odd. You know, something is out of place. So I hope that by doing this, it will not only help the marijuana smokers, but it will also help, you know, the other, you know, the possible victims that we have, whether it be a hit and run or a rape or whatever it's going to be. So hopefully it will improve the safety of the campus in general.
Aaron Dame is the president of Purdue Normal. Thanks again for joining us here on the Audio Stash today.
Oh, well, thank you, and have a good one.
Thanks again to Aaron for speaking with us today. If you're interested in forming your own campus chapter of Normal this year, contact Karen Mallover, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, for information and assistance. You can call 888-67-NORMAL, or you can contact Karen at karen@normal.org. Next up today, we're going to look at a Zogby poll from 2002 that asked America what drugs we thought were dangerous. Now, where does marijuana come in? You're gonna be surprised.
This is Donna DiBianco with the Zogby poll. 3 out of 4 Americans say booze and tobacco pose greater risk than marijuana. In Washington, D.C., Americans rank marijuana as far less dangerous than alcohol or tobacco, according to a national poll of over 1,100 likely voters by Zogby International and commissioned by the Normal Foundation. 47% of the respondents said they believe that alcohol is the most dangerous recreational drug among the three choices. More than one quarter of respondents, about 28%, believe tobacco to be the most dangerous. Only one-fifth, 20% of Americans, say that marijuana is the most dangerous. Respondents' rankings were mildly influenced by age. Among Americans ages 30 to 49, 51% ranked alcohol as the most dangerous drug, compared to only 12% for marijuana. Among those aged 65 and over, 40% said alcohol was most dangerous, compared to 28% for pot.
Americans of all ages overwhelmingly understand that marijuana is less harmful to health and society than either alcohol or tobacco. Marijuana fails to inflict the type of serious health consequences these two legal drugs cause. An estimated 50,000 people die each year from alcohol poisoning, and more than 400,000 annual deaths are attributed to tobacco smoking. By comparison, marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause death by overdose. Neither the marijuana user nor the drug itself presents a legitimate danger to public safety. Its current classification as a Schedule 1 criminally prohibited drug is disproportionate to its relative harmlessness. Science and the American public acknowledge this reality. It's now time for our marijuana policies to reflect this fact.
A previous Zogby International poll commissioned by the Normal Foundation in December found that 61% of Americans oppose arresting and jailing nonviolent marijuana smokers. Only 33% of the respondents said they support arresting and jailing pot smokers, and fewer than 1 in 5, or 18%, strongly support such a policy. This is Donna DiBianco with the Zogby Poll.
Popular opinion has been with the side of reform for years now, but only through being active voters and active letter writers and phone callers, to our elected officials that is, will we make the shift take place in Washington. So get active. We've got links at normalaudiostash.com. Now it's time today for some stash music from the Hempilation 2 album. Here's Wayne Kramer.
You're a viper.
Wayne Kramer from the Hempelation 2 album, brought to you by High Times Magazine and Normal. Great music every day here on The Stash. Now it's time for our Voices of Reform special. This week, we feature Judge William Murphy from Maryland in his unforgettable speech this year. Voices of Reform, a Normal News special from the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Each week, we'll be presenting special podcasts with portions of audio recorded at the 2006 Normal Conference in San Francisco. The complete speeches and more Normal audio is available at norml.org/podcast. We'll hear from one of the nation's top lawyers, Judge William Murphy. Mr. Murphy's understanding of race and the drug war is personal and direct. His passion and eloquence make him one of the most important voices advocating an end to the drug war. This talk does contain explicit content.
And I've dedicated my remaining years to the battle against drug prohibition, a battle which has become so racist, so counterproductive, so destructive, so awful in terms of what is happening to this country and to its core values, that to me it is the most important fight that can be waged today. And I'm not a naive guy. I've been involved in lots of courtroom activity. I know lots of cops, represented cops, got cops in my family. I've had relatives of all stripes wrongfully arrested. I've been repeatedly rousted illegally. My son, who is a lawyer, has been indicted upwards of 14, 15 times. Just driving while black. And I understand what's going on, but it never ceases to amaze me. And I think I finally figured it out at the ripe old age today of 63. Why there's not even a debate about prohibition in America. First of all, if you look back at the last prohibition, it was a constant debate. The debate was narrowly lost with the constitutional amendment. As soon as the constitutional amendment passed, the debate quickened. The debate quickened every year after that. Americans were so divided about it because it criminalized the majority of the American population, as does current prohibition. That debate gathered momentum. Voices from all parts of the country could be heard in and out of the law enforcement community. It was essentially an all-white debate because back in those days, black people didn't count for much anything. Let's be clear. Black people were not part of the organization of the movement for prohibition. Black people were not counted as the victims of alcohol abuse. Black people were not counted among the criminalized for alcohol abuse. This was a fight waged homogeneously by white Americans about white Americans for the benefit of white Americans who were being criminalized as white Americans. Now let's segue to the next stage. There was this underground civil rights movement going on at the time. It was not a majority movement. It has never, incidentally, been a majority movement. And all of these black people of African descent in America who are the sons and daughters of the sons and daughters of the sons and daughters of slaves, no longer intimidated by risking their lives back home. That the civil rights movement sprang anew. It had adherents among people of goodwill in the so-called white community. And by the way, just let me give you a footnote here. I abhor race classification. I think it's the dumbest thing that's ever happened in the world. I think no good can come of it remaining. I am not a black man, even though I'm classified as one. You are not white folks, even though you're classified as such. If you internalize your race classification, you are a fool because you have lost sight of the fundamental human dignity which rises above classification of all kind, save perhaps male and female, where there are fundamental differences that cannot be ignored. And so I think race classification is total and complete bullshit. And the sooner we shed it individually, the better off we'll be. That's why in my more lucid moments, I refer to white folks as people classified as white, and as black people, as people classified as black, et cetera, because that shows the ridiculous nature of our refusal to shed this irrelevant skin and see the beauty of the individual inside.
That was William Murphy, Esquire, at the 2006 Normal Conference in San Francisco, California. His complete talk is available on our Normal Events podcast. Visit norml.org/podcast. Judge Murphy's speech to the conference this April was truly moving to witness, and we've got links to the complete talk at normalaudiostash.com. Now let's wrap things up today with our Audio Stash web poll. All right, folks, it's time to get active. One of the easiest ways in the world to be a digital activist is to vote on the Normal Audio Stash web polls. We usually have two every week, but Tuesday was a holiday, so we just have one web poll this week. Today we're asking you, do you think that your local law enforcement and police consciously target marijuana smokers? Now, we heard from Erin up at Purdue Normal today, and she feels like that's the case up there on campus up there. And what's happening in your community? Some law enforcement agencies and some police departments around the country have sort of taken it on themselves to put marijuana as a low priority. But what's happening in your community? Do you feel police are targeting marijuana smokers there? Answer our web poll today. Just head on up to normalaudiostash.com. We'll be back with two full weekly web polls next week. We'll also have a really cool free stuff giveaway tomorrow. So stay tuned, and thanks to everyone who cast their votes in our web poll. Again, vote today at normalaudiostash.com. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Alan St. Pierre, Donna DiBianco, Erin Dame, and William Murphy Esquire for contributing to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.